Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lauren Davis. And Lauren's an evangelist has a number of programs over in China, over in Africa, at the various campaigns over there, evangelical campaigns or crusades, and he is back home just for a short period of time. I hope maybe he'll tell us what's happening in Africa, but I think he wants to talk to us also about what's really going on in America, what's really going on in the world from a spiritual and political point of view. So, Lauren, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. It's an honor to be with you tonight, and I like the name of your program, Radio Liberty. And, you know, coming up on the 4th of July, which is about liberty, about freedom, I think this is the focus for everyone. And, in fact, if people will be interested in our website to learn more about it, it's laurendavis.com, L-O-R-E-N-Davis.com. Dr. Stan, related to 4th of July and liberty, I would like to speak with God's put on my heart. Why is freedom collapsing?
Lauren, are you on a speakerphone? Are you on just a regular hardline phone? Because it sounds a little harsh.
No, I am on a cell phone because my regular phone, a storm passed through and totally knocked that phone out.
All right. We'll go ahead and we'll make the best we can with it. You go right ahead.
Okay, my apologies, but nothing I could do about that. Freedom and prosperity are rapidly eroding in America. We have tea parties springing up everywhere and conservative talk shows in response to this impending threat. And many people are fighting politically to save our freedom and prosperity. And that's a good thing. But the Bible and history give many examples of how great nations lost their freedom and prosperity. One biblical example is found in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah graphically tells why and how the Israelites lost their freedom and prosperity and went into Babylonian captivity. So God spoke to Jeremiah, the word of the Lord, telling the Israelites that if they would obey God, if they would keep his commandments, and would not spiritually intermingle with the heathen, that God would protect them and prosper them. In Deuteronomy 28:11 is exactly what the Lord said. He said, "And the Lord, you know, if you keep my commandments, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground." And Deuteronomy 28:7, it says, "The Lord shall smite your enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way, and they shall flee seven ways." And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 16, it lists all the blessings that God said he would bring on them if it was conditional, if they kept his commandments. So initially, the Israelites obeyed God, and they enjoyed freedom and prosperity and a great abundance.
Well, of course, I'm sure you're making the analogy to what's going on in America, because, of course, this country has turned against God. We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken the prayer out of our schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments out of our schools. We're the greatest purveyor and source of pornography anywhere in the world. Our television programs are destroying morality throughout the world. And I don't see that God is going to bless this country if it withdraws blessing from Israel. It's certainly withdrawn from America. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Lauren Davis as we analyze what's really going on, not only in America, but throughout the world, and certainly how this correlates really with the history of the past. God withdrew his blessing from Israel, and we've got to withdraw it from America. Go right ahead, Lauren.
All right. When God said he would bless them if he kept his commandments, what commandments was he talking about? Well, basically, God was talking about keeping the Ten Commandments, found on Exodus 20, verse 3 to 16. And here are the basic Ten Commandments that God said if you kept them, he would bless and protect you. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before him. Then thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, that's related to murder. Thou shalt not bear false witness, that is lying. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his possessions. And honor your father and mother. And there were other things that God forbid also, including the practice of witchcraft and getting drunk. Now, Jeremiah warned the Israelites, if they did not keep God's commandments, they would lose their freedom and their prosperity and become slaves in Babylon. In fact, Jeremiah 20, verse 5 says, he says, I'll deliver all the strength of this city and the laborers and all your precious things and treasures, and I will give them to the hand of your enemies, and they shall spoil you and take them and carry them into Babylon. And despite the warning that God gave to Israel through Jeremiah, after God had prospered and protected the Israelites in an unprecedented way, they went cold towards him and became proud and worshiped the work of their own hands. They intermarried with the pagans. They forgot God and his commandments. They assimilated with the pagans, adapting their dress, their music, customs, culture, and even mixed the pagans' religion with their own. So it came to a point that there was little difference between the Israelites and the pagans. In Psalms 106, verse 35, it graphically describes this. It says, they mingled among the heathen, that's God's people, mingled among the heathen, and learned their works. Now, not only did they learn their works, but the Israelites then corrupted the house of the Lord. Before they went into slavery in Babylon, first, the Israelites became spiritually corrupted by false prophets and went cold towards God. In fact, Jeremiah 5:31 describes what happened to the prophets in Israel. It says, their prophets prophesied falsely, and their priests bore rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. So, you know, it's very interesting here. It says that their prophets prophesied falsely, and the people love to have it so. It's like they had a religious game going. The people were not interested in...
Hold that thought. We're going to be bringing our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lauren, of course, what I really think our listeners here would like to hear is really what's going on over in Africa, because certainly I agree with you, there's a similarity between what happened to the children of Israel and what's going on in America today, but certainly what is going on over in Africa, and what sort of response are you getting to your crusades over there?
Well, you know, in Africa and in Kenya, in fact, in Congo, it has been in war, you know, tribal warfare for about 5 years, and 5 million people have been killed in 5 years in Congo. My wife and I have held 7 major crusades in the Congo, and you can see some pictures of it on our website, laurendavis.com, L-O-R-E-N-Davis.com, and massive crowds and the people really crying out to the Lord. But because of so much fighting in the Congo, you know, of course, with it comes starvation, it comes famine, and so it is just a really heart-wrenching thing happening there. In Kenya also, you know, they had this what they call clash 2-3 years ago in Kenya. Well, the news over here said 1,000 people died in the clashes in Kenya. But that's not the truth. The reality is on the ground, and, you know, we live in Kenya much of the time. That's our base. Over 20,000 people died in the conflict there in Kenya, and 10,000 missing. So realistically, about 30,000 people were killed in that conflict in Kenya. Few people really, you know, that news has not really gotten out.
Well, isn't the gentleman who was really responsible for a lot of this death and violence over there, isn't he related to President Obama? Isn't this his cousin or something? Because I know that President Obama, when he was a senator, was over there, getting involved in the political activities in Kenya and backing this man who lost the election and then contested it. There was no question he lost the election, but he was encouraged to go ahead and just stir up violence and death and destruction until he eventually was given some sort of a post in government. Isn't he directly related to President Obama?
Yes.
What is his relationship? Is he a cousin or what?
Well, a cousin.
Okay.
He claims to be first cousin. Mm-hmm. And now the situation in Kenya and also the cousin Raila, he had an MOU with the Muslims that if he was elected, he would bring Sharia law into Kenya. Also that they would stop building churches, on the coast, which had been predominantly Islamic. They'd stop building churches over there. They would stop any religious TV or radio broadcasting in Kenya. And change and actually dictate, the Muslims would dictate the law. And the interesting thing, Dr. Stan, 80% of the people of Kenya prefer to be Christian in one way or another. And yet, when it came down to politics, that the Christians, professing Christians on both sides, they lined up politically. It did not matter, and also tribally, and that lined them up politically. And so what we had over there is Christian killing Christians over there, over politics. So, people look at Africa and the suffering, and there is tremendous suffering and tragedy in Africa, but it has been an ongoing thing. But I think it comes back to basically what I'm talking about here, that, God promised to bless if they kept his commandments, but he said there would be a curse come on the people if they did not keep the commandments. So Africa really has been under a curse. It's not the curse of Ham, because you look in Psalms and other places, Ham actually was not Africa, it was North African, it was the Egyptian. It was the son of Ham. Actually, it was Canaan. It was the Canaanites is who the curse was spoken to. So it was not the Africans. So it's not the curse of Ham on the black man that is brought such hell. But for example, what's going on over there is you have constant tribal warfare. I mean, it's going on now. It just actually like hundreds or thousands of years ago. The tribes, and they're cattle rustling, they're stealing. And, it's not like you have the big fenced-in areas here. But they come steal their cattle, their goats, their camels, whatever they had, and they burn down the huts and they kill the men, women, and children. Actually, my wife and I got caught in one of those raids one time. We'd flown our plane actually up into northern Kenya, and we were building churches deep in villages out there. So we'd flown up there at 4 o'clock. We were staying in tents, and we'd sent our team out. Well, about 4 or 5 in the morning, all hell broke loose, and the raiders, about 500 raiders came, and they had AK-47s and everything else, and they were stealing cows and goats, camels, everything. And in fact, they knew that we were up there because we were well known. They were yelling, eat Lawrence Church. We're taking the cows. That really upset me, and I prayed, and actually God intervened. But 18 people were killed, and women, children, old people, babies, and that. So what is happening in Kenya? Where there is so much professing Christianity over there, and yet, when it comes down to issues, even with one side, lining up with the Muslims, each side lined it up with their tribe more, not as Christian brothers. They weren't looking themselves as Christian brothers, but as tribal brothers or whatever, and they overlooked any other thing. So basically, the curse has come on Kenya, and the curse has come on Africa because they're breaking the commandments of God. I mean, there's a they say in Africa, in Kenya, that Christianity is 1,000 miles wide and it's an inch deep. For example, Dr. Stanton, in Kenya, which is supposed to be 80% Christian, they had, I know a few years back, I'm not sure the statistic right now, but 800 people were dying every day of HIV in Kenya. 800 people every day. I have been in what we call mortuaries here, but they just stack the bodies right on top of each other. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And, you know, there was so much death going on there. But the main way, of course, of getting HIV is through adultery. Now, you know, of course, there's bad needles and there's, you know, blood transfusions, other things. But the main way of doing it. And so what you have so many professing Christians, you know, who are breaking the commandments of God. And so it's bringing this curse. And, you know, I am against HIV, and I'm against helping people with AIDS. But the reality is, you know, speaking of Africa and us wanting to help them, we can get all the medicines that we can and we should, but until the people really get right with the Lord and start keeping God's commandments, the curse is just on there, and the curse brings death.
Well, it's really one of the tragic areas, and we lived in Africa for a time, and it's really a wonderful country, and the people there are wonderful, but it is their culture. Certainly living in South Africa, there are 8 different tribes, and every one of them hated every other tribe. It was the most amazing thing, and even though they were nominal Christians, there's this intense tribal hatred until those people really have a personal relationship with our Lord, not simply a superficial one, but where their lives are really transformed and they let Christ direct their lives, nothing's going to change in Africa.
Yes, that's right. Well, but see, it's like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 5:31 that the prophets prophesied falsely, and my people love to have it so. What they did is the prophets were prophesying blessings to the people who were breaking God's commandments and living wicked lives. And they never warned them of the consequences of their sins, what would happen. And this basically is what has happened, you know, with so many of the ministries in Africa, in Kenya, is they just speak blessing and blessing. Hardly anything is ever preached about against sin, about keeping God's commandments. I mean, it's virtually unheard of. And so what it does is people believe that they as long as they accept Jesus, you know, anything they do is okay and they're going to go to heaven. And so by doing this, it has really opened the door for the curse. And they pray and pray, but God answers prayer. But, you know, he lays down some commandments. He says, if you do what I tell you, the blessing will come upon you. If you don't. And so a problem that we've had, and we are dealing with it in Africa, is that, you know, people call themselves Christians, and this is not everybody, and I don't want anybody to think that. It's not everybody, but a strong percentage, they call themselves Christians, but they really live in very ungodly lives. And I think the same thing has happened in America, you know. Over 80% of the people in this country are professing Christians. And you wonder, how could a country with, you know, we have churches on every street corner. We have Christian TV, Christian radio. And with all of this proliferation of these things, you wonder, how in the world could America get in such moral condition that it's in today with so much, you know, what is called Christianity?
Well, I think that in many respects, I speak in many respects that the ministers hold a large part of the blame for this because they've not encouraged the people to become involved. They've not explained to them the true spiritual nature of the battle that we're engaged in. There's not probably 1 in 1,000 Americans who know that the reason they took God and prayer out of our schools was because the Masons controlled the Supreme Court. But I believe that the wicked people took over our seminaries here many years ago and taught the ministers simply just to talk about how God loves everybody and all they have to do is go to church on a regular basis and love God. God will love them. But they have no responsibility for involvement. And that's how great nations are lost, when the good people, the Christians in this nation, will not stand up for righteousness.
Absolutely. In Numbers 19, verse 20, it says they defiled the sanctuary. And in Joshua 22:19, it says they built an altar to Baal beside the altar of the Lord. And so what we have today in much of Christianity is the preachers are just preaching what the people want to hear. They get a psychologist, and they bring them in here and profile their community. Okay, I heard of a pastor. He put out a survey. What messages do you want to hear? How long do you want me to preach? So he's preaching only to get a crowd and also to get more money for the church. But so there are certain topics that are not preached on in most churches today. Number one is salvation. You know, you hardly ever hear the term salvation anymore. Also, the Ten Commandments. There are a lot of pastors, and they're preachers, major preachers, that teach the Ten Commandments have been done away with. I mean, that is in their teaching. And so we wonder why so many, you know, Christians, you know, they lie, professing Christians. They live together outside of marriage. You know, they drink, and some of them get drunk and dishonest and things. Yet they'll come to church. They'll say, "Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord." But the Bible says the true worshipers of God worship in spirit and in truth. But today, hardly anything is spoken about eternity. Hardly anything is spoken about heaven. It's just how you can be a success, how great you are, you know. But the people became mesmerized with the false prophets, and they were just prophesying blessings on the people, even living wicked lives. And that's why Jeremiah stood up to them, and because the people were mesmerized with false religion. And Dr. Stan, I believe that the reason America, Africa, etc., are in the shape it's in, and that freedom is collapsing, I believe the root cause is because Christianity has changed. It's not based on the Bible and the commandments and following the Lord in his ways. And so, you know, this country, America, was founded on God. It was founded on the Bible. It's founded on faith in Jesus Christ, on the Ten Commandments. The laws of this nation were based on the Ten Commandments. And now we see that the laws that have been enacted in this country right now actually are against the commandments of God. And no wonder a curse is coming. I mean, we wonder why we're having the financial problems that we're having and everything else. The Bible says the curse does not causeless come. So, but Jeremiah prophesied that to the Israelites, if they did not change, they would lose everything. But the Israelites didn't believe him. And so Jeremiah 25, it says they went into captivity into Babylon. And like Jeremiah had prophesied, the Assyrian, King Nebuchadnezzar, took the Israelites into captivity. And it's very interesting that Assyria and Babylon is modern-day Iraq, you know, where we are bogged down in, right there, the same one that took them into captivity. But what happened? By not keeping God's commandments, by not listening to God, the Israelites lost their homes, they lost their money, their savings, and all their possessions, and they became slaves. So the people exchanged their freedom for the pleasures of sin and for false prophets.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lauren Davis. He is an evangelist from Africa, and he's just here on a short leave. If you have a question, a comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What's going on in Zimbabwe? We get terrible stories about the number of people who fled Zimbabwe. Sounds like almost half the population has left, and certainly the terrible poverty and, you know, just the total brutality of the government that the United States has financed since we installed Mugabe back in 1980, and we keep giving him humanitarian aid. Of course, we say, oh, he's just a terrible guy. He really should be allowed democratic elections. But we give him humanitarian aid that all goes to the criminal element within the military and the police that are terrorizing the people. And Mugabe lives in palatial splendor. The people live in abject poverty, and totally financed by the United States and certainly by our good friends in Great Britain. And we could certainly put an embargo on them, their diamonds, their copper. We could cut off all trade like we did with South Africa when we wanted to bring the ANC, the African National Communist Conference, to power. We don't do that. We leave Mugabe in power. What is happening in Zimbabwe today?
Well, there's runaway inflation over there. Because, instead of functioning now, on sound economic system, they're just printing money. And so, and also they have broken down the foundation of that country's economics with the farmers. And, there were the white farmers that were, they were the big producers of the land, but then they divided up their land. And I'm sure not defending colonization by any means, but Mugabe took the farmers' lands, and many of the farmers who have been there for, their families have been there for, who knows how long. They were just Rhodesians and some Zimbabweans. But then they divided all their farms up and gave it to the people. Well, the people don't know how to run farms. They have little plots. And so they're not producing. They are not producing, like it was producing. Zimbabwe before had enough to feed its own people and to feed others around it. It was very lush, very, very plentiful. But because of the economic policies at the top that broke down, and so trying to sustain this thing, then Mugabe, he has gone to just printing money. And so, I think you could pay about $1 million. For a loaf of bread over there now. It's just unbelievable. I've been in, Congo, and I've seen the same thing. It was just thousands and thousands, of their money just, to buy a little something from the grocery store. Just the value of money is gone. And so when a country like Zimbabwe does not operate on sound financial principles, and overspend, when they don't have the money, it has crushed that, and the people, it brings chaos to the whole country. The people are broken. It was prosperous before, and understand, looking at Zimbabwe, I've thought about that in America many times. It looks like we are following the pathway of African economics, that we are doing the very same thing that they did, and we're spending money that we don't have. Getting deeper and deeper in debt, printing funds, and so, if you keep doing the same thing, and I'm talking about history repeating itself, there are certain things you do that bring blessing, and there are certain things you do that bring the curse. But any person who, is in debt, you don't spend more money to get out of debt. But that's exactly what happened in Zimbabwe, and it looks like that's what's happening here. And so, the results, end results, could be the very same thing. If you do the same thing, you're going to get the same results every time.
Well, I think that our leaders know exactly what they're doing. After all, they're the ones who put Mugabe in power over there. They've kept him in power. He's destroyed the nation, and he did it in large part by overspending and destroying the productive capacity. And that's exactly what they're doing here. They're in the process of taking over control of the automotive industry and certainly the farming industry and shutting off their water so they can't function here in California. And certainly they are certainly putting out all sorts of the seeds that our crops are not accepted. We can't send our corn and soybeans and cotton seed oil and canola oil over to Europe. They won't accept it because it's genetically modified. Now they're going to genetically modify our rice so we won't be able to export it. Other countries can't have it. And so this is going to eventually destroy our farming industry. It's almost as if there were people in America who want to destroy our nation. We're the greatest debtor nation the world has ever seen. And we're headed towards the worst depression since the 1300s. And the average American has no idea what's going on. Perhaps it really is true that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose and when God brings his judgment. they're going to have to bear it.
Well, you know,
hold that thought.
We're in debt. We're so deeply in debt to China. This is a communist and an atheistic country.
Hold just a moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go right ahead, Lauren.
All right, this is Lauren Davis. If you want to look at my website to see our work in Africa, it's laurendavis.com, L-O-R-E-N-Davis.com. You know, another thing that happened, and I want to parallel what happened to the Israelites with Africa and with America, but when the Israelites went into slavery into Babylon, okay, they had a guaranteed income, guaranteed economic equality, but that translated into everybody receiving slave wages. And so, like in Zimbabwe, as well as the Israelites in Assyria, they had no freedom of thought, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, no freedom to do or choose the kind of business they wanted to, no freedom to prosper. It was a slave society, and it demanded uniformity and conformity to the king and his mores, and he was totally a tyrannical dictatorship. He was against Jehovah God. He was against his laws. And so, you know, God's people were then living, you know, under a leader who was against the laws of God. But the children, you know, the children who are born in a slave society, and even the Israelites born in Babylon, that's all they knew. They didn't know firsthand the miracles of God. God was just, Jehovah was just the God of their parents and ancestors. But it was their parents' religions, not their own. They didn't know God personally. They didn't believe his word. In their minds, spiritually, they had evolved to a higher level of political correctness. And they had been educated by the atheistic educational institutions of Babylon. Dressed like them. This is the Israelites' children. Talked like them, were caught up with the Babylonians' entertainment system, became immoral like them. Their culture became the Israelites' culture, and none of them now regarded God's commandments anymore. So the Israelites, God's people, living in slavery, now had no control over their own lives or the lives of their children. They had all been inoculated against the Word of God. And I think... Wow, this is, you know, in Zimbabwe, that freedom of speech is not there. And I think, you know, this really parallels so much to what's happening in our country today. You know, we have so much Christianity here. I mean, churches are on every street corner, but there's so much doctrinal confusion. In today's Christianity, it seems like it has no immoral impact on society. And the same thing is with Africa.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lauren Davis. Lauren, would you like to get out your website one more time for our listeners and how they can get in touch with your ministry?
Yes. Our website is laurendavis.com, LorenDavis.com. Our email address is combineharvesting.com. Combineharvesting@hotmail.com. Combineharvesting@hotmail.com. That is a way you can get in touch with us. And we've also been doing some major crusades in India, some very large crusades in India. We've built 270 churches in villages now in Africa, unreached villages, and they're also using these churches to educate the children.
Well, I think that's really wonderful. And so what sort of response are you getting in your crusades in India?
Well, in my last, I was there about 2.5 or 3 months ago. And, in fact, I've just started getting to India, for I've been there twice now. But our last crusade that we had there, you know, of course, the paganism is very, very strong. They worship 300 million gods. There's idols everywhere. There's Hindu priests. People are kneeling before those idols, praying to them. It's something. But we went right in the middle of that thing. But the field that we were in, they said it would hold 1 million people standing crowd. And we had two-thirds of the field was full. So, I mean, you couldn't count that many people, so I don't know. But there's a picture on our website, laurendavis.com, of that. But it was, and the people really cried out to the Lord. In fact, we had an incident, second night of the crusade in India, that we had two security cars that were leaving the crusade grounds to come pick up my wife and I. And as the front car, as it was leaving the grounds, ran over a four-year-old boy and completely ran over him. And the boy's body lay lifeless, you know, and he appeared dead. Well, the driver was arrested, and he was taken to jail. His car was impounded, and they took the boy's body to the hospital, or they took him to the hospital. And didn't seem to be any life. But after 30 minutes, miraculously, he opened his eyes and sat up. And they examined him, and no bones in his body was broken. So the driver was released from jail. Was in at the crusade on the platform the next night with the parents of the boy and the boy, and holding him in his arms. But the man said, "I've been a Hindu all of my life," and he said, "But I felt I had killed this boy, and my life was ruined. But you know, see the boy now." He said, "Now I know Jesus is God." So that had a massive impact, and the response. I preached Jesus very plainly, very strong, that He's the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. And the response was just phenomenal. In fact, we have a DVD if anybody would be interested in the DVD of the India Crusade. You can contact me at combineharvesting.com, and there's a photo of it on our website, laurendavis.com.
Well, it's wonderful to know that really people are coming to know the Lord throughout the world, and certainly we spend a lot of our time here talking about all the things that are happening politically and certainly economically, but we have to also recognize that there is this spiritual battle going on, and thank goodness we have people like you who are out there around the world risking their lives. Certainly it's not safe in Africa. It's certainly not that safe over in India, because there's a tremendous animosity towards Christianity. But there is this hatred of Christianity throughout the world, and yet you're bringing God's word, and I'm sure many of the people there, their lives will be transformed forever.
Oh, yes, and some of our crusades in Africa are so large, it's just incredible, the people crying out to the Lord, and the Lord healing people and saving them, and also some photos of our crusades in Africa, as well as the churches we're building there is on our website, but it's great to give your life to the Lord. Jesus is the answer for the world, and He's the answer for America. But, you know, my concern for our country, and I love America, but it appears to me, Dr. Stan, that as a whole, America has become a pagan nation, because our children in the public educational institution, they're educated to believe in atheism. They're educated to believe there's no God against Jesus Christ. They're educated not to believe the Bible. The Ten Commandments are not allowed in our schools. They've taken them out of our courthouses. And you look at our entertainment industry. You know, you can have a television have 600-700 channels on there, and hardly anything is fit to watch because of the immorality of it. They're promoting homosexuality, adultery, thievery, cheating, every vile thing imaginable constantly. And so now, you know, this has become even the entertainment of Christians as well as non-Christians. We are just like in Babylon, you know, the pagan entertainment system. It has become our system, and we have become desensitized to it. So I think that's one reason in America as well as other countries that parents have lost control of their children. You know, it's and people, you know, and we look at America and compare it to Babylon and compare it to the Israelites of Jeremiah's day, and it seems like, you know, there's hardly any difference at all.
Well, I think the thing that we have to recognize is today it's illegal for you to spank your child. Now, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, but this is the law. We have no discipline in school. We have no discipline at home. Certainly we teach our children that there is no God, that the Bible is wrong, that after all, science has verified that man evolved from some slime somewhere and somehow or other life developed. But we have a system where children are given situational ethics. They're told, well, you have to determine what's right and what's wrong, who will live, who will die. I mean, that is your decision. And we create a totally chaotic world, and then we wonder why our world is becoming increasingly chaotic. There has to be moral laws and moral rules down throughout all time. Men have looked to God, whether it was a Christian God or another God, but man could not live without an authority over him guiding the course of his life. And unfortunately, we've taken that away from our children, and then we wonder why we have a lawless society.
Yes, and children threaten their parents, you know. If you spank me, if you do anything, I'll have you arrested, and they can't. So, I mean, where is a nation where it has had laws like this? I have a 12-year-old grandson in the sixth grade, and he told me the other day, he said, Baboose, he calls me Baboose. Says, Babu in Swahili means grandpa. But he says, Baboose, and I'm not going to mess with that. But he said, Baboose, he said, I was taught the other day in my school regarding the dating system, which, you know, is based on A.D. and B.C., you know, referring around the date of Christ's birth. They are now changed. He said they're teaching A.D. is now A.C.E. That means after common era. And B.C., before Christ, is now changed to B.C.E., that is before common era. So he said they had a test with that on there. But he said, Baboose, he said, when it came to it, I put B.C. and not B.C.E., and he's a very brilliant young man. He said, that's the only one I got wrong, but he said, that's okay, it's time to fight. But what's happening in this country is Jesus Christ is trying to, you know, even through the educational system, to be totally expunged from the memories of our children, and even the dating system and everything else, and all gods are being put on the same plane. You know, everybody's saying, well, God bless America, but, you know, now it's come out in declaration, America is no longer a Christian country. It's an Islamic, Judeo-Christian, all gods are the same. And that is totally in defiance in the Ten Commandments when God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So systematically, this country has its fist in the face of Almighty God, and we wonder, you know, what in the world is going wrong. I would just like to bring this up. Is America under a curse? You know, all the things happening here. Look at the drug wars that are terrorizing our borders. Look at the murderous gangs that are filling our cities and making them so dangerous. Racial tension is reviving, dividing and weakening us again. Our mental wards are packed out. Our prisons, we can't build them fast enough. So much suicide, even disease, is getting worse and worse with all of our medical science. Is America under a curse? Consider the Vietnam War. And actually, you know, this immorality move in America, the sexual revolution, it was brought in, you know, through the hippie movement in the 60s and 70s. And it was fueled by the Beatles, by Bob Dylan, the Rolling Stones, Joan Baez, Jimi Hendrix, Woodstock, all of them promoting the sexual revolution, rejection of the Ten Commandments. They were promoting Eastern religions and open blasphemy against God. They brought in the drug culture, LSD. And it seems in this country, in so many places, that the most decadent, immoral people are the ones who are made idols that people, you know, look to. We go to Las Vegas, Sin City, and casinos for our entertainment. So many people are involved in drinking today, despised. I mean, it's just common now. You get it at the grocery store, at the corner store, despite how many lives have been lost in accidents because of drinking, homes that have been destroyed by it, pornography is filling TV, internet, magazines, casual sex is common on dates as if it were nothing, sexual perversion is common. Divorce has been tearing our families to pieces for decades. It's ruined so many lives and scarred children. Adultery, fornication, perversion, thievery, murder, witchcraft, sorcery. These are the main themes of our TV programs and movies. Witchcraft. Okay, one of the things God commanded not to get involved with was witchcraft and sorcery. Yet Harry Potter, which promotes sorcery and witchcraft, I think it sold 400 million books, 400 million books, plus the movies. And then you have cartoons. The main themes are sorcery and witchcraft. And then Disneyland, you know that the main theme of Disneyland is the Magic Kingdom. It's witchcraft. It's sorcery. It's all of these things. So America as a nation is now openly opposing the God of the Bible, is opposing Jesus Christ, because you can speak about, you know, any of these other religions in school, but you can't talk about Jesus, you can't talk about the Bible. He has been totally expunged from our educational system, and so the nation as a whole has lost the fear of God. Morally, America has become like Sodom and Gomorrah.
But it didn't happen by accident. It happened by intent. No. It was during the Vietnam War, and the Vietnam War was never fought to win. We were not allowed to hit any of the major targets over there. We weren't allowed to do anything in North Vietnam like bombing the dikes or bombing the electric plants. They wanted the war to go on. Great diversion. Why? Because the Supreme Court changed the function of structure of our society. At one time, we could control perversion at the state and local level. Oh, but the Masons on the United States Supreme Court, and they controlled the court from 41 to 71, they took God and prayer out of our schools, but they also centralized power in Washington, D.C., so that the local communities could not control perversion, could not control homosexuality. And then the great foundations, of course, financed this whole idea of bringing sex education into our schools, because occasionally a girl would get pregnant, and when I went to high school with several thousand students there, you know, probably 1,000 students in my class, maybe there are 2 or 3 pregnant. Now, in some classes across America, half the girls are pregnant, or a third of them are pregnant by the time they're graduating from high school. And sex education was done intentionally and purposely to break down the morality of our society. And working with the people in Hollywood, they intentionally changed little bit by little bit the mores of our society. And you watch television today, and people are jumping in and out of bed with different people all the time. That is perfectly acceptable. And this is done intentionally, not by accident. There is an organized effort to destroy the soul of America. I agree with you, but it didn't happen by accident.
No, this and also that hippie movement, you know, with the Beatles and those others. I mean, that is one of the things that spawned, you know, to bring it in. But it was going parallel with what was happening with the government, and the laws too. But are we under a curse? Look at the Gulf oil spill. You know, that thing looks apocalyptic. There were estimates that, you know, there's been as high as 2.5 million gallons of oil spewing every day into the Gulf. And a lot of gases are in it that are toxic, and they said this could go on for months. So, you know, and with all of our technology, they can't get a handle on it. But, Dr. Stan, this reminds me what's happening in the Gulf right now of what the book of Revelation prophesies is going to happen in the Great Tribulation. In Revelation 8, verse 8 to 9, it says, a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which are in the sea died. And they show, you know, pictures of, you know, these fish and birds dying of this. So, you know, this is coming. And we know the Great Tribulation, I mean, you know, we get thinking we have a timetable and, you know, on the end time eschatology, but, you know, boy, you get looking at what's happening in the Gulf and you say, man, has this thing started? But, you know, looking, you know, is America under curse? Look at the Nashville flood. It was 1 in 1,000 years flood that we had back there that nearly wiped out Nashville. I couldn't believe it. The Arkansas was hit by killer floods that killed all those people. And then Hurricane Katrina and Rita virtually destroyed New Orleans and Biloxi and a lot of those along the coast. And also Hurricane Ike, you know, a lot of Galveston was under 12 feet of water. 12 feet of water. But in this area, New Orleans, and that whole Gulf Coast down there, so much of their income, their economics there is made off of, you know, sand, just promoting, you know, casinos, promoting every kind of vice and things imaginable. And a lot of, today's Christianity, well, people say, well, you know, God is good all the time. There's no judgment of God. But, you know, you just need to read the Bible. He said that if you do these things I command you, all these blessings will come upon you. If you don't, all these curses will come upon you. Look at the unprecedented bailouts that we're having in this country. The banks trying to keep, you know, a Great Depression from happening. Like you mentioned, the taking over the auto industries, the national debt. What is it, $14 trillion, something like that? And millions and millions of people are jobless, and you know, 10%. Some said the real figure could be 17%. Well, that's catastrophic.
Hold that thought.
A friend of mine living in L.A. Told me that there's a million homeless living on the streets in L.A. That was what he told me.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Lauren Davis. Well, Lauren, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right. Well, one other thing I'd like to say, America has turned against Israel. And Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3 says, God says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So how can we stand against the promises of God or what God says and not have a curse come upon us? So for those who are Christians, you know, a lot of people just really are in despair today, but God knows how to deliver his people. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, that's Christians, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. It's not just pray, turn from their wicked ways. God said, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. America needs to be healed, and our only salvation is to turn to the Lord, to pray, to turn from our wicked ways. And there is still hope, but God is our only hope. And Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So Jesus is our only way. But there is deliverance for you. Even we can't control what other people do. But look in the days of Noah when the flood came. God delivered righteous Noah and his family. God delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah when it was destroyed. God delivered Paul and Silas and Peter from prison. When the death angel came to Egypt, those who put the blood on the doorpost, they were spared. And the scripture says, no temptation has come to you but what is common to man. But with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. And Psalm 37:25 says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And God says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So God has protection for his own, and God has provision for his own. But it's time for people to repent of their sins, to start keeping God's commandments, to get their accounts really straight with the Lord, and to be very vigilant, because I believe we could be seeing a lot of turbulence happening in this country. This is Lauren Davis. My website is laurendavis.com, LaurenDavis.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us, Lauren. I wish you well, and I hope things go well with you. When will you be heading back to Africa?
We'll be headed back later in the summer.
All right, fine. Well, God bless you, and thank you so very much for being with us. And I certainly hope the people will heed your warning. Bye-bye.
Thank
Good night.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
It's a privilege to be with you. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and Dr. Lauren Davis is certainly giving a prophetic warning, and I think it's something that people really have to understand. When a nation turns against God, God eventually turns against that nation. He's long-suffering, but look and see what's going on in America today. Watch our television. Notice, of course, that the President of the United States, President Obama, was willing to celebrate Gay and Lesbian Day in the White House. But, of course, when it came to the National Day of Prayer, he wanted to cancel it. If you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, in the section there under other videos, the one about where you can see President Obama talking about My Muslim faith. Those were his words. And you have to understand that he bows down before the king of Saudi Arabia, which an American president would never do. So why is President Obama subservient to the king of Saudi Arabia? Well, you need to read my newsletters, certainly, and you'll find out that President Obama has told the leaders of other nations that he himself is a Muslim. But, of course, he can't admit that here in the United States. Read my newsletters. I believe it's the two newsletters we did dealing with my interview with Avi Lifkin. Read the interview, watch the DVDs, and then understand why God may be very displeased with America. As you know, we are firmly convinced, and I hope and pray we're wrong. But everything points to the fact that we're going to be at war with Iran in the not-too-distant future. How many people will die unnecessarily in that war, as they died unnecessarily in the Iraqi war, because, oh, shucks, we thought they had weapons of mass destruction, and we found they were wrong, and, oh, shucks, it was just a mistake, and a million people died? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a war crime. And, of course, when you start a war, this was not, we were not attacked by Iraq. There was no reason to go into Iraq, other than the fact that there is a master plan out there, and it's being followed step by step by step. And, of course, the next step, I believe, is going to go into Iran, and I just hope and pray that I'm wrong. But get yourself prepared fiscally, financially, but most of all spiritually. And make sure you have a personal relationship with our Lord. If you'd like to see some wonderful DVDs, we have them. One is called God of Wonders. And it just talks about all the wonderful things in nature. And then, of course, very subtly at the end, it brings in the fact that, I mean, these wonderful things we see in nature were put there by God, who does have a plan for nature, and he has a plan for mankind. It's a very well-done DVD, God of Wonders. We really recommend this for you. And then the 10 DVD set, The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. If you haven't seen it, you need to get it. He has a lot of great DVDs, and he has a lot of great video clips that he inserts there to make the points. But even more than that, of course, you need to know all the prophecies. And he has a book called The Final Countdown, and you can get that with or without the 10 DVD set, part one or part two. But he ends each one of his presentations with a personal invitation to come to know the Lord. And I think everyone, if you know the Lord, fine. If you don't, you ought to at least consider the claims of Christianity. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get the DVD we have, Constance Cumby, talking about the emergence. We have Chris Pinto talking about on a DVD, these are talks that were given at our annual conference, about the Atlantis connection. And what people must understand is that there really are people in the world who believe that America is the new Atlantis and will lead the world to this wonderful new utopian society, similar to the one that existed in ancient Atlantis, the one that was destroyed by a great flood because it was so evil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, The New Atlantis by Chris Pinto, all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Don't forget our October 17th all-day conference here, a Radio Liberty conference in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. You'll have to call and get reservations. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, because we're involved in a spiritual battle. And lastly, please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.